You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 10 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast. As ever, I'm joined by Matt Hall.
Hello, hello, hello.
And Cookie has made a return.
Hello, hello, hello.
Had to be back for the big 1-0, didn't I?
Brilliant. Great to have you back, Cookie. As ever, another jam-packed episode. What we got coming up on this week's?
Coming up tonight, today, could be either, depends when you're listening.
Tonight, today, the day. Tonight.
Coming up on this episode, Matt, you talked through the Halifax game.
And I also caught up with Neil Smith post-match.
We have a message from the board at Bromley FC.
We catch up with Roger Johnson.
We also catch up with Frankie Raymond.
We get the lowdown on the club's FA Youth Cup adventure.
We hear from the fans on their worst ever defeat.
And we look ahead to the Maidstone game.
Fantastic. Great to have you all here. Obviously, I guess, first of all, we're going to start with the 2-2 draw with Halifax last weekend. Matt, I mean, it was an eventful game before it even started, really.
I think eventful is a bit of an understatement, really. It was a very busy day for many reasons. Starting on a very positive note, we had a couple of Bromley youth teams down as well as our mascots and flag bearers, the under-12s and under-13s. And we also had the Chartwell Cancer Trust, Cookie, obviously something very close to all our hearts here, and none the least you, who did the run for them, and Neil as well. We know how passionate he is, don't we, about the Chartwell Cancer
Trust. They're lovely, and Michelle, she deserves huge credit, and all of her team for what she does. They're fantastic there.
And they've really enjoyed the day, and we've got lots of good pictures and info from that coming up for you soon. Looking ahead to the match itself, or looking at the match itself, really, we lost out two players in the warm-up, Cookie. Have you ever seen anything like that before?
No, it's a strange version of events, and just when you're on the high from the game against Ebbsfleet, you then have this issue to deal with. David Gregory's face. I honestly went up to him before the game. I thought he had been attacked. His face looked that bad.
Very swollen, wasn't it?
Very swollen, but yeah, I think he had a sinus infection, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But
again, this is the passion that they show players like that. He still wanted to play.
He did, yeah.
And he was told it would be best advised if he didn't.
I think a bit of double vision might have accounted for
that
as well.
But he still wanted to. He front everything. He was like, no, I'm all right. And it was only in warm-up that it then became...
And obviously, losing Richard Brindley as well, as the teams were walking out, Mark Anthony's playing, who was a doubt from the start to even make the bench, and he was a credit to the team. He put in a great performance. And Bromley really did very, very well in the game. Went 1-0 up early on, Frankie Sutherland's penalty even, which was in, went off the stanchion, and then he put home the rebound just to be safe. Halifax pulled it back in the second half to 1-1, and then one of the goals of the season, Cookie, from George Porter to put us ahead with 10 minutes left.
Incredible goal. But that's what he's got. He's not going to be a goal scorer to get you 20, 30 goals a season, but it's what he does. His work rate is incredible, and then he would just score a goal like that.
And then obviously gutting at the end to lose out to a 93rd minute equaliser from Halifax. And then even their own director said was undeserved. So yeah, Bromley, a real credit
a bit. We also had Omar go off injured as well.
That's right. And Sam Wood. Yeah, so four players from when the team sheet went into half time.
Slightly. And I think we had an issue with Omar with his hamstring. But just a little bit touching on that, we had the substitution. Bobby Joe Taylor come on for Sam Wood. And I think credit where credit's due here. Mm. He hadn't had much game time. We all know what he could do when he played at Ashford in the pre-season. And Bobby Joe Taylor, for me, like when he come on,
out of position,
absolute impact. And he
did
said
well.
He played in that position before. He played at the wing back, and he was fantastic.
Yes, and I managed to catch up with Neil Smith for his post-match thoughts. Neil, that seems like some kind of strange dream, really, losing two players in the warm-up and two players during the game. And
you don't know the morning I've had. You know, I had a phone call about 10:30 from Gregor's, saying his eye was swollen, he was struggling, but he was going to come in and have a look. I had Richard Brindley come in, his leg was swollen from training yesterday that we didn't know about, but he was going to come and give it a go. So I had a team in my head. We then had to change it just before the kickoff and bring Max in, and bring Mark Anthony, who by the way hasn't trained, to put himself on the line to play in a game today. Then obviously losing Omar, then losing, you know, a couple of other players, and it's just, it couldn't have gone any worse. So for us to get a result against a team like Halifax was amazing, and that's full credit to them players. They put everything in today. They couldn't have given me any more. You know, there's some wounded players out there, physically and mentally after that, you know, giving the goal away at the end. But couldn't have asked for any more, and they were full credit of this club.
And is it fair to say we actually deserve the win?
Yeah, it was. You know, first half was a bit shaky because obviously players coming in, new positions and stuff like that, and obviously Max making his, you know, his league debut at the age and getting such a late call. So the back four, you know, had to look after him, and they did. And, I was really pleased with him. I was really, really pleased with him.
Have you ever had to change shape so many times in a game?
No, but that seems our luck at the moment. You know, the team I wanted to start with wasn't. The team that I wanted to finish with wasn't. But you have to deal with it, and that's what we do as a coaching staff and as a management and the players. And fair play to them. They stuck to a game, and to come away, I think they can hold their heads held high.
And like you say, Mark Anthony hasn't trained. Was absolutely outstanding today.
Yeah, I asked him to play. Could you play for me today? I genuinely asked him to play for me today. And that's the performance I get from someone who hasn't trained. You know, Rooney coming in, making his debut, you know, coming on the Thursday. Outstanding. I honestly can't, to a man. I thought George Porter took his goal well, never stopped running. Junior up front was awesome. As I say, then we lose Omar and you haven't switched it around again. But full credit to him. I think that showed how they believe they should be playing for this club.
Obviously, no game Tuesday. You're probably pleased about that with the circumstances.
Absolutely. You know, we've got Frankie Raymond back. You'll have Adam Mecky back. Johnny Goddard's looking fitter. Some of these players will obviously be another week fitter and another rest. But hopefully, I'll have a full team to pick from going into the game next week away to Maidstone.
No, well done in difficult circumstances, and thank you.
Brilliant, thank you very much.
Always great to hear from Neil Smith there, who it's also good to hear from is obviously the Bromley FC board. It's been an eventful couple of years, really, but most recently, obviously, there's been a few questions asked with regards to obviously what's been happening on the pitch, I guess, and also off the pitch with regards to the news stand. So I think it was always quite timely that the board got a message out to supporters and gave them a general update on things both on and off the field, Matt.
Yeah, so I'm going to read through that message now, and it's quite a comprehensive one, covers a lot of things in detail. Dear supporters, the start of the season has not been what all of us would have hoped for. This is only with regard to results on the pitch. Let me comment about these before I cover other areas within the club. We finished last season on an enormous high with the highest league position the football club has ever achieved, and a wonderful FA Trophy one, which allowed us to enjoy a day out at Wembley, struggling to get the words out here, regardless of the result. Moving into the new season, we've had a hangover from the previous season successes, and if we reflect, maybe it's not too much of a surprise. During the close season, we said goodbye to important players in Louis Dennis, Josh Rees and Brandon Hanlon, who moved to League One clubs. These three players scored between them 39 goals, and that's a lot to replace, but a great story to show player development at Bromley Football Club. Luke Wolfenden returned to Ipswich, unsettling the back four, and added to this, Ben Chorley and Tyrone Sterling, two solid players of the defence last year, moved on to pastures new. The departures are a lot to replace, and although the management team did their best in replacing them, it takes time to find the right players and get them settled into the team, and clearly we have not had the luck of this happening immediately. It's also important to note that the standard in the National League has increased this year with the teams that have come into it, and the money now being spent on the playing squads. There are at least 10 teams who are now playing with a League 1 / League 2 playing budget, and we have one team playing with a budget of a Championship side. We all know who they are. I'm proud that at Bromley we have stayed strong in committing to our long-term plan and financial security, and therefore maintained a playing budget in line with what we had last year with a slight increase. As a board, we are committed to Neil Smith and his management team, and we believe that some minor personnel changes and a bit more luck with injuries, we have a squad of players that will be able to compete to the level achieved last year. This season will be all about how we finish and not how we started, which of course is a reverse on last year. Off the pitch, our plans continue to be exciting, albeit with some unfortunate delays in the new stand. On the eve of the cup final, I announced to you at the commencement of the new stand and the hope for it to be ready to use on the 1st of January. As you can see, the build is underway, albeit at the moment below ground level, so actually not a lot to see at the moment. Our building plan has got delayed, and this was due to a number of reasons: commercial challenges challenges in tendering for the work to be done and getting the best price and contracts for the club, discovering contaminated land that had to be excavated and negotiating with a possible partner of the space behind the stand. All of these have led to the delay, and once we have agreed the new date, we will let you all know. The new season also heralded a new term at the academy, and I'm pleased to say we now have over 200 students in class and on the training pitches during the week. This is testament to Mark Hammond, who leads the academy, and the support we get from our partner Paul Murphy, head of Ravensbourne School. In years ahead, the success of the academy will feed into homegrown players as well as success for them and the team on the pitch. Finally, I should comment on the financial stability of the club. In recent years, we've all worked hard to find a business model that allows the club to operate and grow, not to be dependent on a rich benefactor. This work is continuing successfully, and last year's accounts will show a remarkable turn on the previous year's accounts, and our aim is to continue this into the years ahead. The financial strength will give the club the stability it needs, and with all the initiatives going on and fulfilling the potential, the income to the club will grow, and thereby the playing budget will increase as well, allowing Bromley FC to successfully compete at the next level of football. On behalf of the board, we are thank you for your continued support and ask you all to encourage friends and colleagues to join you at the club and enjoy the journey of Bromley FC as we continue to build for the future and our entrance into league football. Robin Stanton-Gleaves on behalf of the board of directors.
Brief. Fair play, Matt. I mean, there's three of us. We could have probably divided that up into paragraphs, but we sort of left it to you there, Matt.
I can get back.
Oh, there you go.
Just about 5 second sentence
together. So I think firstly, Matt, great job in reading out. Secondly, I thought the release was pretty well received. I think first of all, I think the sheer fact the number of areas that were covered in that article, it could have been a, I think, I don't know what people were expecting, whether they were expecting a vote of confidence article. It was all about Neil, all about the players and all about the football, or if they were just expecting a South stand up there or whatever. But throughout all of that, the academy, everything, I think Robin and the board did a great job there summarising all aspects of the football club and hopefully giving fans a real insight and update on where the club is at this time.
Yeah, it's an exciting time to be a part of Bromley Football Club, and I think like Robin and the board said, it's imperative that we get these things right. Financial backing, people come into this league and could come into leagues below us, etc., throw money at everything and it doesn't always work. We're getting everything right despite some despite some players not working out and some comings and goings. The fact is, the meeting that I had last Sunday showed their support to Neil, and stuff's being done about it, and I think that's exciting.
Yeah, I was going to say, we covered that last week about the meeting that they had on the Sunday after the defeat and everything like that. So there's no hiding there. The run of results and the start of the season hasn't been what anybody wanted or anybody expected or anybody planned for, you know, but we are where we are. That's football at the end of the day. And I think, Matt, obviously, touching back on the football, Robin referred to it and Neil's referred to it before, the injuries this year. You know, when you look at Saturday, and I think, how many players did we have out before?
Well, I think it was a good handful, with suspensions.
I think by the end, we must have had 7 or 9 players on the sideline. That would have been...
Have you ever seen anything like that before? You know, during your time here, I certainly haven't.
Nothing before, and don't forget, we still had the Adameke suspension, so we was kind of had our hands tied behind our back with half of our squad injured. But it just goes to prove that there are a lot of players
on that front, people won't realise. You should probably point it out there. Obviously, Omar's going to miss Saturday. He picked up his fifth yellow card, didn't he?
Yes.
So he's got a one game ban. Sorry to cut you across there.
It's fine. The obviously we know he's still carrying a niggle. So it might have been actually quite a good time for him to be injured, the fact that he's got to miss a game through suspension. So disappointing again, but you know what, we've got players like Frankie Raymond coming back from suspension.
Obviously, on that subject, we managed to catch up with a couple of players this week, Frankie being one of them. We also managed to catch up with Roger Johnson.
Yep.
Matt, I believe it was, I think you caught up with Frankie Raymond.
Correct.
Earlier this week.
That's it. Just before we touch on that, Jeff, I just want to say that with the board of directors message, obviously that come through, the fans got it the day before from the Ravens Weekly email that goes out. It's a fantastic newsletter that provides all the information, and what you can do is if you go to bromleyfc.co.uk, then you'll be able to subscribe to that, so do that.
We've just had a private corporate event from next door just come walking through the podcast.
Asking
us questions. So Ravens Weekly, fantastic email, goes out every Monday. We try and summarise everything for supporters, and often the players and managers make an appearance on the email and send their own personal messages. Obviously this Monday it was Robin on behalf of the board, which I think is a really nice touch.
This just proves that we do it live and we don't fully edit and do loads of cuts on our podcast. Keep it running.
But back on the football, we do have a couple of professional, well, I hope so anyway, interviews coming up with players. We're going to start with Frankie Raymond.
Frankie, we're just ahead of the trip to Maidstone, a local one. One you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I think these games are always big games against Maidstone. There should be a good crowd there. And we're looking to keep the positive run going over the last few weeks.
And obviously you missed out through suspension last week. Looking forward to being back?
Yeah, I'm happy to be back in contention with the boys. I think last week there was a lot of... Like obviously I was suspended, there was a few injuries and the boys done brilliant seeing the circumstances. So we've got a good squad together now and we're ready for tomorrow, yeah.
What's it like sort of being from the sidelines, knowing you can't have an impact on the pitch? It must be really, really frustrating for you.
Yeah, it is frustrating. But the quality we've got in the squad, like I say, I think there was probably four, five, six players out on Saturday. And the boys just shown the quality to get the draw, and we probably should have won against a strong Halifax team.
And in your time in football, have you ever really experienced anything like that? I mean, we must have had two players drop out in the warm-up, two in the first half as well, injury. And on top of that, an already long injury list during the week.
Exactly, yeah. No, we've got a lot of injuries, but I think, as I say, the boys showed their character and showed the team spirit that we're going to need when we've got a lot of games coming up towards Christmas time and stuff like that. And if we have got a small squad, we've all got to be in it together and be ready to play.
And like we said a minute ago, it's a local derby tomorrow. Is that something you as a player relish?
Yeah, it should be brilliant. It's always nice to get one over on your local team, so we'll be looking to go there and get the win.
Thanks, Frankie.
No worries, Matt.
Joined by Roger Johnson. Roger, it's always good to catch up with you. It's been a mixed start of the season, but what's it from your viewpoint?
Personally, I'm a bit annoyed. I keep picking up little niggles, but played the majority of the games. As a club and a team, like you said, it's been a bit part. Went on a good run, and then we went on a really bad run. And now hopefully we turn that corner of the four straight losses and picked up a vital win at Ebbsfleet. And everything went against us Saturday with injuries and illnesses and before the game, and we came through it, so showed a bit of character, a bit of togetherness, which was, I think, was vital, which we lost. So hopefully we're on that run now of getting a few results.
From the viewpoint of a player, you suffered a 5-0 defeat against Solihull. How was it turned around so quickly to the Ebbsfleet, to the victory?
Without going into too much detail, we had a meeting on the Sunday as a staff and players, watched the video, had a good, very good discussion. And then a few of the senior players, myself, Jack, called a meeting on the Monday amongst the lads because we needed to sort a few things out. And touch wood, so far that's worked because we have looked better and more together. We just need to put the Solihull game behind us. You get one of them a season, and hopefully that's the only one.
I see. And like you said, the full substitutions on Saturday really probably led to the 2-2 draw. You'd like to think that without them, we stood a good chance of winning. But no doubt, we head on to Maidstone tomorrow. It's a difficult local derby. So what's your feelings with that one?
Yeah, I mean they're not doing great. Like I said, hopefully we've turned that corner. Before the losses, we were doing well. We picked up some vital wins. So yeah, I mean, going into that tomorrow, they're always tough games. But if we turn up like we know we can and play the way we can, then we should go and get the result. But we just need everybody at it. On recent weeks, it's been sort of half the team at it, so like I said, with the last two previous games, everybody's fighting in the same direction, and we should go and get a win if we're all at it.
Perfect. And finally, personally, what's it like with your injury at the moment? Has it been treated? Are you feeling fit now?
Yeah, back training the last 2 days, yesterday and today. Like I said, just super little niggles, just picking up tiny little tears. So I'm through that now, hopefully. Just do the strengthening programs and get out there and want to be back in the team as soon as possible.
Brilliant. Roger, thank you very much.
Great to hear from both Frankie and Roger there. Before we move on to Saturday's six-pointer, I think some people are already calling it, at Maidstone away, we are going to catch up with our academy. An eventful week for them. I think the biggest event being the FA Youth Cup clash away at Metropolis, Matt. Heartbreak, I think, unfortunately, in the end, is probably the description.
It was, unfortunately, and in my opinion, it was slightly undeserved heartbreak. So Bromley, obviously, as a lot of you will know, made the journey to Imbercourt, a venue plenty of Bromley fans will be very fond of, following the London Senior Cup.
London Jeff, Senior Cup,
a few
that
years
one.
Back.
Yeah. Sue brought an inflatable shark that day.
Yes.
Wally the Whale.
Was it the Whale? Yeah. Yeah. And I remember the picture.
Helgi Aromi got sent off.
And he'd come behind the fan, celebrate with us.
I remember the picture of you, Jeff, behind the goal, putting the flag up.
The old Bromley Aces
flag.
Yeah,
that's
and
it.
You and Tim, when we didn't know each other, and we was all together in the same photo, standing next to each other.
Crazy, isn't it, how things work out, Cookie?
You don't talk to me now.
That was better before.
Yeah, shame that.
That was a better before. But Matt, you were obviously at the game.
Yes.
Yeah, you can take us through it.
Yeah, I thought I'd go down. And yes, a good performance all in all, I think, from the boys. It was a bit unfortunate. It was 0-0.
To be fair, I think Hanno said to me they got off to a slow start first half, I think.
It was a slightly slow start, but then it was 0-0 at half time. So, you know, I don't think you can criticise the first half too much, in my opinion. Harry Smith with a couple of good chances, played very well up front, a couple of close headers. I think Bromley were sort of towards the end of the half were on top. Then a bit of a sucker punch early in the second half, a defensive error allowed Met Police to take the lead, and then a penalty from Claudio Krasnicki. A lot of you remember him from the under-23s and also a couple of pre-season appearances at Hayes Lane. Level things up from the spot. And then Bromley actually went ahead with 5 minutes left on the clock. Harry Smith, a deserved goal for him.
You're joking. 5 minutes ago.
Five minutes, Jeff. And then Met Police with an 89th minute penalty for a handball, a sloppy handball in the box, equalised. And then unfortunately, a minute before the interval in extra time, Met Police took the lead and it stayed that way. So absolutely gutted for the boys. They really did put in a good shift, and some great players coming through that academy for sure. And it's credit to Mark and Danny Mills, the coach, as well for nurturing this talent and all the other academy coaches.
Oh, brilliant. Desperately disappointed. Matt, thanks for keeping us abreast of that. Right, referring back to last week's podcast, we ran through our question of, we're asking people's favourite player, wouldn't we?
We did.
We did that one. We had plenty of responses, and even after the podcast gone out, we've got some more now. But last week's question was actually...
We took a big turn, didn't we?
We thought we'd go with a bit of sense of humour, and we went for the worst Bromley game we've ever seen. And you know what? I must admit, me and Matt, naively, when we were thinking that and we asked the question, little did I actually realise, and a gentleman who's listening, I'm sure will know who he is, popped into the office on Saturday's game, and said about the podcast, and he said, I wonder how many people are actually going to say or realise or believe that Wembley was actually the worst Bromley game I've ever seen. And I must admit, when me and Matt were thinking about it, I didn't really even come into my head at that point. It's only afterwards that I thought about it, I thought, oh blimey, what have we done here? But I must admit, not too many people put Wembley. They've had quite a varied response over on Twitter, Facebook, social media. I think, Cookie, you've got a couple to start with from over on Twitter.
Yeah, I want to start with Angie Weaver, because it's actually my worst day as well. It was the Dorchester game, February 2014. The game should have been off when we got to their stadium. The pitch was mud. It was horrendous. And we arrived down there. And like Angie said, she said, we was flying high in the league. Promotion was on the cards that season. It's when we was up against East. Seeing the chase for the title, pitch more mud than grass, 2-0 down, put it back to 2-2. Brilliant, we're going to go in with a point. And they scored in the last minute. And the thing is something you touched base on as well, Jeff.
Oh,
there
right.
was there's a disabled viewing section down at the end near the goal mouth.
On the right hand side. We should have had a penalty. I mean, before I remember one of the players went for a slight. First of all, you could just see everybody was trenching through mud. You couldn't, the ball would go up in the air. It would stop, it would not move. And who, Matt, you told me, I think it was Louis Dennis's.
Yes, first
Louis,
goal.
Louis Dennis's first goal. Came on from the bench, second half, scored what we thought was going to be the winner, if I remember. Equaliser, sorry. And then they came up the other end and scored. And yeah, there's two things. A, I remember being in disbelief. B, I'm reminded by it because there's a photo
I've just seen that.
Taken by a photographer that appears to have done the rounds on Twitter. And C, I'm hand on heart, and this don't mean this to come in any wrong shape or form, but like you said, Cookie, on the right-hand side was a disabled viewing area. There were three or four home Dorchester fans who had enjoyed our misfortune as the game had gone on, and we'd all shared a bit of to and fro and bantering, etc. I promise you, the geezer got the supporter got out of a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Promise you, stood up and flicked the V sign at all of us. I'm telling you, I can't have been the only one who saw it.
Same that stuck in my mind as well. It was incredible. But yeah, Angie, I completely agree with you with that one. That was my worst day as well.
That game aside, I think this shows probably the progress in which clubs made. Some people won't even believe this could possibly be determined as someone's worst game. But Jamie Thomas over on Twitter at Bromley FC, worst game, probably first game of the 16-17 season at home to Tranmere. Dragged my mate along to show him what non-league football's all about. It was a poor game. We lost 2-0. And I don't think we had a shot on target. He hasn't joined me since.
Keep him away. It was bad luck.
For many old school fans, and fans that have been around a long time, to say that a fixture against Tranmere would be one of the worst games we've ever seen shows quite how far the football club has come. Matt, I think there's a few more on there. Colin Head. Where's Colin's one?
Yeah, Colin Head says the worst game for him was a 6-0 home defeat to Braintree in the 2000-2001 season. Two players made their debut who we'd never seen play before. Turns out the manager hadn't either.
I just want to touch base with Mash. Obviously, can we just put out as well, congratulations to Mash. He's the birth of his daughter.
Yes, congratulations,
Post about him doing talking tactics with Arsenal versus Quarrelberg. Was like when I saw that on Instagram last night, is brilliant. But he says worst game in terms of thrashing, Cray 6-1 in the Kent Senior Cup semi-final, or the 5-2 defeat to them in 2004-2005. Worst games in terms of emotion, losing to Brackley in the FA Trophy final.
Blimey. Someone else referring to Colin Head's worst game there with the Braintree. Just looking through the social media posts, just bring it out randomly. I found this was quite funny. Someone put on Twitter, saw Ravens Weekly in my email inbox from the directors. Feared the worst. Quite the opposite, and a short response to a difficult start. Sport cannot go your way for too long before it comes after you. The response makes a difference. Terrace always standing behind you. That's quite a nice comment I didn't see before. Matt, James Snowley.
Yes, James Morgan Snowley got to be the London Senior Cup loss to Met Police, how ironic, in February 2010 with Andrew Snowley. Absolutely awful game in about -5 temperatures. Ended up going to extra time. Very ironic once again. To prolong the cold before we lost on pens, the bumper crowd of 120 were not too happy. Hashtag Ravens Weekly.
We've got one more as well.
I remember that. I do remember that one. I'm sure I remember that game. It was absolute brutal freezing.
I want to throw in, I mean, there's been a few, but throw in one more. Do you remember the defeat to Braintree in the FA Cup, 2-0 up at half-time?
We ended up
losing 4-2. That was definitely one where we were like, oh my God, we're going to go through, we're going to go back to the first round of the FA Cup.
That is right up there.
It's right up there, isn't it?
And just because it's Braintree for a start, puts it up there. Honestly, I think we've won games at Braintree, and I think it's been one of the worst games I've been. I can't believe that pass its ground growth.
And then they got promoted again, and we've got to go about there this season.
Fantastic. What have you got up next?
Thank you, guys.
I suppose we should ask another question, shouldn't we?
We should.
The problem is, we should have decided what it was before we started this podcast.
That's it.
I guess.
And being live and lack of editing, it really depends on what one we can do. So,
and let me refer. Did we make a list up of what we were going to do?
We did. It's a Maidstone preview now, apparently.
Okay, yeah, let's scrap that. We'll come back to the question. Let's do the Maidstone preview so we get it done. Matt, who are we facing? How good are they? How bad are they? We did ask them to give us some feedback, didn't we? We asked someone to submit a... Was it Stones Live? We dropped them a message, didn't we?
Didn't receive a response,
but they didn't come
out.
That's a shame. But
so they're lost.
I'm sure you're going to fill us in, Matt.
Yes, well, Maidstone on the same points as us at the moment, actually. A familiar foe that we've faced over the past few years in various competitions, really, and another local derby just a short time after Ebbsfleet. They've had a lot of change, as I'm sure a lot of you will be aware, this season, with Jay Saunders leaving as manager and Harry Wheeler coming in. And with the managerial change, there's been a lot, and I think that's probably an understatement, Cookie, a lot of player changes. Obviously, one that stayed there, Cookie, a player we know very well in Blair Turgot.
Yeah, and he come back from injury, and he's been scoring. He's been on fire. You know he's a threat, because he was a threat for us. Keeping loving, you need a dorsal and beyond me. But it's going to be difficult, but there have been a lot of changes. They're not unbeatable, despite going on a great run recently. It's going to be difficult, I think. But I think that the team, the way they've really started to blossom in the past couple of weeks, I think could help us. And we had a video analysis on the Monday of the previous game.
I've got a question. Sorry, carry on.
We've got brainstorm moment.
We had the video analysis on the Monday, and then yesterday, because we're recording quite late into the week, but yesterday there was a team meeting going through the video analysis on how they prepare for the game against Maidstone, and they know how to prepare. They know what they're going to do. There's no point talking about it online, because don't want to give anything away, and plus I can't even remember what
you weren't supposed to say that bit.
Confidence is high, I think, and they've the discussions were in depth, and they know where to hit them, and they know where they attack, and they know where to obviously get the goals. It's all about now just doing it on the pitch, as long as they remember that.
That's right, Cookie. And like I say, lots of player changes, so expect a very different Maidstone side tomorrow, in effect, to the teams that we faced before. But fingers crossed, another good derby.
Fantastic. I think that was an almost semi-professional preview of the Maidstone game. As you could tell, this is probably our most ad hoc episode so far. However, it is our 10th episode, which is a nice change.
Double figures. Woo!
What's that? 10 weeks, 10 episodes? Not done bad. So thank you for everybody who's...
And who was it that said it wouldn't be done?
Oh, come on.
Who fan was it? Said it?
Was it you, Cookie? No,
probably almost everyone that's listened there after the first episode. But again, many thanks for putting up with us throughout all of this. This week's question, and if I've asked this already, this is going to be a bit embarrassing, but have we asked for people's first ever away game?
I think we asked for people's best ever away game, not first.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go with first. The only reason I say that is I'm always amazed on the stories of how people came to their first ever game. Mm. You know, whether it was a dad, whether it was a friend, whether, you know, there's always loads of different amazing stories there. But I'm just as intrigued as to what makes you then decide to go to your first ever Bromley away game. You can save that for next week.
I will do.
We're struggling for content.
already.
And... but yeah, you know, what makes you go to
very good one.
Your first ever away game? Because you, potentially you're going to somewhere you've never been before. I find it amazing. I think you're going to have a really good...
What made you go and see Bromley before? Like when we was a smaller club in the lower divisions, what made you go there? What made you go to Bromley Football Club rather than...
Yeah, but I think we covered that with the first ever Bromley game, didn't we?
I think so, yeah.
Do you not subscribe to it? Do you not listen?
No. Cookie's not a fan, are you?
Unbelievable. But yeah, so that's our question this week. First ever Bromley away game. Where? Why? I'd love to know the story, but I think that'd be a great... great discussion point for next week's episode.
And of course, you can get in touch with us by emailing podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk or tweeting your answers to us @bromleyfc, and please use the hashtag Ravens Weekly.
Oh yeah, it's starting to take off, isn't it? I think that's all we've got time for. David, many thanks for joining. It's good to have you back.
Good to be back. I don't know if I'll be back for the next few. I'll let you know.
Fit you in my diary. Matt, pleasure as always.
Pleasure too.
Brilliant. Thanks again to everybody who's listened. You'll have live commentary tomorrow, Matt, for our Maidstone.
Indeed.
Yep, well, we'll be there from 2:45. Make sure you listen.
I think I'm banged from that terrace after celebrating that penalty a couple of years
ago. Jumping up in front
you
of the camera. And it will be myself and Matt commentating.
Fantastic. That's available over on the website, www.bromleyfc.co.uk. Don't forget, it's a non-league day the weekend after. We're at home to Barrow. We had 2,500 a couple of years ago. It'd be great to beat that again this year. We reduced admission prices to £10 and £5 in advance. There's flies in the glades, there's posters in Bromley South Station, Cannon Cars have got posters up for us, Churchill Theatre have got posters up for us. Matt, you've just delivered 3,000 tickets to local schools for free, so we're really doing everything we can to get behind it. It'd be great if supporters can help and download posters and put them up in their workplace, school or colleges. I think that's about it. Thanks again for listening, and we'll be back again next week.
Take care.
Could have been, you could have been, you could have been.
What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.